We give the worship team another round of applause. Powerful worship this morning. My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. Before we get started with the sermon this morning, I want to take a minute and talk to you about Christmas. How many of you love Christmas? Raise your hand. It is my favorite time of year. I love it. We are going to give you a magnet when you leave today. Our goal would be for you to take a magnet and also for you to take one to invite a friend, because we are going to celebrate Christmas the whole month of December. On the magnet, you're going to see pretty much all of this information. During the Sundays, during Christmas, during December, we're going to walk very simply through the story of Christmas. We're going to walk week by week and look at the power of Christmas through each different character. So the first week, we're going to do the story of Mary. And that day, we're going to have a very special local artist named Maggie Reckers, who's going to be here to do a live painting during worship. It's going to be really unique. The second week, December 8th, we're going to do the story of Joseph, and our kids are going to help us learn that story. They're going to come in, they're going to perform some songs for us. We love when the kids join us in the worship service. It's always a fun time. On December 15th, we're going to do the story of the shepherds, and our friend Jessica Rivera, she is a Grammy-nominated, award-winning opera singer. She's preparing a very special song about the shepherds to sing to us on that day. December 22nd, we're going to do the story of the wise men, and we're going to have a bunch of Christmas arts music celebration. That day is just going to have all kinds of different things. It's going to be a very special day. So we're really looking forward to each of the Sundays in Christmas. On December 8th in the afternoon, we're going to have a family Christmas party. We're going to find the best food that Middletown has to offer, all right? And we're going to get it all ready for you. We're going to have a party in the gym. We'd love for you to invite friends and family. We are going to charge just a little bit for that party, $3. That pretty much helps us cover the food. We have one time slot right now. We're going to do it at 5 p.m. You can purchase your tickets today, starting this morning. If we sell out, if we have too many people for one time slot, we'll do a second, probably at about 7 o'clock. Again, you can get your tickets for that in the lobby today. On December 24th, we'll do our traditional Christmas Eve service, where we'll come and we'll anticipate the birth of Jesus together. We'll worship, we'll sing, we'll take communion. But why are we doing all this? What's the point? It's because we want to magnify the name of Jesus during Christmas. We believe that the greatest present is his presence, that what God can give to you on Christmas is new life. And so we want you to invite your friends, invite your family. I want everybody to take an extra magnet today and invite a neighbor, invite a coworker, invite a family member that you've been praying God would introduce himself. And maybe, just maybe, we'll watch God transform some lives this Christmas together. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'm excited for this sermon this morning. I really feel like God is going to use it to encourage you, to speak to you. I think it's going to be a unique message, and my hope is that as you lean in and listen today, you would just let God love you. We're going to be in page 169 on the Hopeful Workbook if you want to turn there. So let me pray, and we'll dive into the message together. Father, we love you, and I'm just so thankful for your Holy Spirit. God, you are so good to us. You are more good than we could have ever hoped for. You are better than we could have ever imagined. Father, when we accepted that invitation, when we took your hand and followed you into a new life, who would have dreamed it would look like it does? Even in our pain, you're with us. Even in our suffering, you love us. And Father, we're grateful. As we approach Christmas, would you just shower this place with your blessing? The blessing of your presence and your spirit. Could we celebrate with unity and with joy as a body? Father, we love you. Thank you this morning that we're in good hands and that we can bank on that. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, I've titled the message this morning, You're in Good Hands. So in that little main idea spot at the top of the page, if you want to write that down, You're in Good Hands. That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, it's getting pretty exciting around the Garmany house because we just passed the halfway point of Hannah's pregnancy. And so we're like on the home stretch. We're heading down the second half of the race here. And we found out a couple weeks ago that we're expecting a little baby boy. We're going to call him. Yeah, thank you for that. We're gonna call him Oliver Michael. We're gonna call him Ollie. And I'm really starting to think that what you eat affects the gender of the baby. Because when your diet is like beef jerky and pickles and Flamin' Hot Cheetos, like that's just the stuff little boys are made of. So I'm just thinking like, did you just fill yourself with boy? But really, Hannah's done just an exceptional job being pregnant. Better, really, than I could have asked. She's done exceptional. And it's hard work, y'all. I mean, how many of you ladies say being pregnant is hard work? And she's done a great job with it. Now, recently, she struggled with a little bit of anxiety, so my job at home has been kind of to field questions and try to reassure her. Like, the most common question every day is, do I look pregnant or do I just look fat? And fellas, I want you to know that's a trap. You say, you're glowing, honey. You look wonderful. We were at the tacos with the Hispanic church on Friday night, and one of the ladies saw Hannah, and they said, so how far along are you? And she said, oh, I'm only 21 weeks. And they went, whoa. You got a long way to go. And Hannah's like, really? But she's so small, so it only has like one way to go, right? It's like, he's just gonna have to lay flat, put his feet out. She's also worried about our cat. She always asks me about our cats. Do you think they're gonna like him? I'm like, who cares? Like, we'll get rid of the cats if they don't like my kid. Kids take a higher priority to cats. Like, they can be on the street if they don't like my kid. So I feel, you could take them if you feel that bad. On the day that we found out he was going to be a boy, we went to the doctor and, you know, they did the full anatomy scan. And that was really cool. You know, you get to see his face, you get to see his ears, you get to see his spine, all, like every part of his body. And I told Hannah, I said, he's got Grandpa Lindy's head. It's pretty large. Hannah had had some, sorry, Lindy. Love you, buddy. Hannah had had some Diet Coke that afternoon, and so the baby was just like all over the place, right? He's like rolling in her tummy, and it was really cool because he likes the camera, so anytime the little thing would go across her belly, his little face would just pop in, and it was really neat. And we were probably most ecstatic when Dr. Andrews came in, and he said, everything looks healthy. You got a perfectly good little growing baby boy, and you know, that's all you want as a parent, right? You just want to know that they're going to be healthy. And that didn't last too long. Hannah struggles with a little bit of worry, so we got to the car, and she looks at me. She goes, do you really think everything's going to be okay? And I looked at her and I said, I really like Dr. Andrew. I like Dr. Renna, that's the other doctor we saw. And I just think we're in good hands. And she looked at me and she went, all right, we're going to be fine. And at the end of the day, that's really what we want to know, isn't it? We want to know when we're in a situation that feels uncertain, that feels difficult, maybe a situation that feels out of our control. What we want to know at the end of the day is that we're in good hands and that things are going to be okay. And so I want you to listen to this message today. Because I believe there are a lot of you in here who are wrestling with some very serious concerns and anxiety. And I know this because I talked to you before the service, and I talked to you in the lobby, and I email back and forth with you. And I know that there are some of you in here who have children who are far away from God, and they're going through some very painful times. And you want to know if there's still hope for them, if there's still a chance for them to know Jesus. Some of you are approaching the holidays for the first time without a loved one. And I want you to know, we know that can be a very bittersweet time, that you can feel alone in a crowded room, that you can feel by yourself in a room full of joy. Some of you in here have been working really hard to make some changes in your life so you can be better in a position to follow God. And now you're starting to wonder and worry, is this going to pay off for me? Am I going to experience his blessing? And you need the assurance that he sees you and that he's going to bless you. I know several families in this room where it's not just one concern, but it's a wave of concerns. It's multiple things hitting you at once. And so I want you to listen this morning because you need to know this morning that you're in good hands. You need to know this morning that there is a God who loves you, who cares about you, and who has his hand on your life. You need to know that he cares about your concerns, that he cares about your responsibilities, your opportunities, your relationships, your weaknesses, your temptations. And Peter, in his letter this morning, is going to tell us that much. So let's look at the scripture together. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll look at verses 6 and 7. It says this, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, circle mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because what? He cares for you. Now, I need to point out something in this text that I don't normally like to do because 99% of the time you can read the NIV or you can read any other good translation of the Bible and it's perfectly safe. However, this is one small point where the NIV made a slight translation overstep. And so I want to show you this verse in a different translation because if you notice in this verse, verse 6 ends with a period and verse 7 begins a brand new sentence. In the original language, that's not how the verse works. That verse is a participle which builds on the thought before. And the NASB does a good job with this verse, so I want to read it to you. It says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What Peter is trying to say would be something like this: Jake, be a thoughtful husband, allowing Hannah to have the last slice of pizza. It's a part of what that looks like. Jake, be a good driver, keeping your eyes on the road and off of LeBron's stat line on your phone, which is what I struggle with. Jake, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, casting your anxieties on him. Peter's telling us the degree to which you humble yourself is the degree to which you experience anxiety in your life. There is a direct correlation between the level of humility in your life and the level of anxiety that you experience. And so another way to say it would be, whose hand is your life in? Are you trying to grab life with your own hands, trying to get your hands around your own life, or are you bringing your life to God and placing it in his mighty hand? Because as you do that, anxiety goes away. So here's the first point I want you to write down this morning. Anxiety arises when you take life into your own hands. Anxiety arises when you take life into your own hands. When we try to handle life on our own, anxiety and fear will always be a threat. Now, a couple weeks ago, Wes and I spent a Saturday moving some of our friends from Cincinnati. And instead of putting some money together, instead of hiring some movers, Wes decided to take matters into his own hands and rent a giant U-Haul truck. Now, I'm not talking about like the 10-foot box truck that's just a bigger pickup. I'm talking about like the 26-foot mini semi. Now, Wes sort of misrepresented me a couple weeks ago, so I want to tell you the true story. You know, we got the truck all loaded up. We started driving down the highway, and to make matters worse, it starts to pour down rain. Now, Wes, when he misrepresented me, said that I was bored in the truck, and so I started playing Mario Kart. Not true. The truth is, I was playing Mario Kart to keep my anxious mind off the thought that I'm doing 65 miles an hour down the raining highway in a steel death trap with a guy who likes to listen to Bob Dylan at full volume. Like, you'd be scared too. You'd be like, I'm just not gonna look at the road. And that's what I was doing, I was on my phone. And so he's mad because, hey, you missed the exit. I'm like, I'm just focused on staying alive here, man, right? We get the truck unloaded in Cincinnati and we get back on the highway, and this is the part he failed to tell you. We're approaching the exit. You know, when you get on the exit ramp, it's got the sign that says, be careful turning the corner, the truck might flip over. I see that sign and my life flashed before my eyes. I grab the seatbelt and just buckle it in, pull it tight, and Wes looks at me and just starts laughing. You know that laugh that he does. And I was like, oh man, he's like, you scared? And I'm like, a little bit, right? When life is in your own hands, a little anxiety creeps in, right? And so that's what Peter is trying to tell us this morning. He's saying when we try to manage life on our own, anxiety arises because you're carrying weight that you were never meant to bear on your own. Do you know that? That when you carry anxiety and worry around, most of the time it's because you're trying to carry things that you're not strong enough to carry. And you were never meant to carry those things. Your shoulders are not big enough to handle every family crisis, every expectation of every outcome, every decision that comes into your life. You were never meant to handle that alone. You were created to be a God-dependent person. And anxiety creeps in when out of pride we say, I can handle this, I'm gonna take this on my own, or I've gotta figure this out. And all of a sudden we begin to fret, we begin to fear, we begin to worry. And it's so easy to forget that we were made to be God-dependent. You see, some of us, we're afraid that if we tell people that we need help, we're just kind of afraid of what they'll think. We don't want people to see our hurt. We don't want them to think less of us. And let me just let you in on a little secret. Everybody has junk. Everybody has things that they cannot carry on their own. We believe as a church that everybody has something big going on. Sometimes it's good big. Sometimes it's something you're really excited about. Like, it's big for us to have a kid and we're excited. It's a little scary, but we're excited. Sometimes it's bad big. Sometimes it's a kid who's hurting or a marriage that's on the rocks. Everybody has something big going on. And as a church, for us to pretend like we don't struggle, it's just insanity. It's insane. And so Peter says, humble yourself. It's okay to struggle. Some of us, we don't like to admit it because we don't like to admit that we can't do it on our own. When we see people around us who are needy, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be someone who has to depend on others. And I just want you to know it's very silly, because wasn't it God who said it's not good for man to be alone? Wasn't it God who said, I created you in my own image and I'm going to be with you? And wasn't it the promise that he would be with us that erases fear? You see, for me, I don't like the thought of being needy. That's where I struggle with this. I don't mind telling somebody the first time, hey, I'm struggling here, I need help. It's when it comes back around a second and a third time. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you have to go back and say, man, I'm getting angry again, or I'm getting frustrated again, or I'm getting fearful again. I like to think of myself as a person who's conquered it. And I just want you to know, it's just pride talking. That's all it is. And Peter says, anxiety increases in your life when you try to get your hands around it, when you try to handle it on your own. Because friends, your hands aren't skilled enough. They're not strong enough to handle everything life's going to throw at you. And praise God that he never asked us to do that. Praise God that he never asked us to grab hold of life and figure it out. But instead, he asked us to come under the power of his mighty hand and cast our anxieties on him. So here's the second thing I want you to write down. Anxiety flees when you know that you're in good hands. Anxiety arises when you take life into your own hands, but it flees when you're in good hands. Peter said, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. So what does it mean to humble ourselves? Humbling ourselves means that we make a daily decision to place our life in God's hands. It's saying to God, Father, I trust you with my life today. I trust you with my concerns, with my fears, with my worries. I'm going to press in to your presence. So yesterday I had coffee with a good friend of mine, and I met with her maybe a couple months ago, 6-7 months ago, and when I saw her last, she just looked exhausted, tired. She'd been battling, managing her rigorous college schedule. She'd had some loss in her life, and you could just tell she was worn. And I've been asking her, so how you been the past couple of months? And she told me about just the anxiety and the stress of worrying about school and worrying about how she's going to make it through and whether or not she's doing what God wants her to do and how that would terrorize her and torture her. And she said, you know what? I woke up one day and I realized God doesn't want me to live like this. God doesn't want me worried about every second of my life living day to day without time in his presence, without time with his people. And so she decided to make some changes. She changed her degree. She chose a degree that would give her more time to lean into God's presence. And she's been after that for a couple months now. And if I could just show you the relief and the joy on her face as she's leaning into God's presence and saying, I'm not just going to try to wrangle this with my own hands. Instead, I'm going to come under his hand and I'm going to trust him. And friend, I want you to know this morning, your Father, he's holding out his hand to you. And he's asking you to give him your worries, your fears, your concerns, your frustrations. And this isn't just a one-time transaction. Giving your cares to God is not something you just do once and you go, here, God, here's everything I'm concerned about. I'll never think about it again. Now, you might think that's how it works, but how's that been going for you? You go to God and you say, hey, here's everything I worry about, my marriage, my job, my kids. I'm just going to give you that now, and now everything's awesome. Has that ever worked for you? No. Casting your cares on God is living 60 seconds a minute, morning by morning, moment by moment, saying, God, I trust you with today. I trust you with this moment. I trust you with this decision. I trust you with this part of my life. I'm giving it to you. It's the discipline of coming back to God and casting your cares on him. Now, here's what's interesting. That word casting, it's a forceful word in the Greek. So it's kind of like this. It's like when we think about bringing our cares to God, let's say this speaker here is God, we come kind of meekly and gently and we go, here, God, this is a care for you that I have. And we just kind of meekly walk away. But when Peter talks about casting your cares on God, it's a similar word for the way that the men in your neighborhood handle your garbage when they throw it in the truck, right? Wouldn't it be weird if you looked out and like your garbage, they were like picking it up very neatly and just placing it in the bin? No, it's garbage, right? They pick it up and they throw it in the bin forcefully. And a lot of times they leave it all over the road so you can go pick it up and leave it out for them again next week. Peter says, when you cast your anxieties on your Father, you throw that at, you force it, you say, God, this is everything I have. I'm giving all of this to you. It's a fight. It's a daily decision to give God my worries. Now here's the thing. David told us in the Psalms, he said, God makes known to me the path of life. He fills me with joy in his presence, with eternal pleasures at his right hand. What a trade-off. That God gets my junk, that God gets my anxieties, God gets my concerns, God gets my worries, and in return, I get eternal pleasures at his right hand. What a powerful trade. And so what I want to do with the rest of the sermon this morning is I just want to show you five reasons, because we're talking about hands, five reasons you can trust your Heavenly Father's hand. The first one is this: God's hands are skilled hands. God's hands are skilled hands. So recently I've gotten into woodworking as a little side hobby, right? It makes me feel manly to be working with wood, but then I realize I'm cutting out like really delicate letters and I'm like, this isn't very manly. But I've had a lot of fun learning about all the saws, circular saws, band saws. My favorite one is the scroll saw, because with a scroll saw, you take a piece of wood and it's got a really fine blade and you work the wood through it and you carve out really intricate letters and details and that kind of thing. And in order to get good at it, which I am not very good, I thought I would be good. I talked a lot of trash to Hannah about how good I was going to be, and I realized I'm not. It takes a great amount of skill. You have to have a steady hand to make precise cuts. And the Bible tells us that in Psalm chapter 8, David says, "Lord, when I consider your heavens, when I think about the work of your fingers, when I think about the skill of your hand that hung the moon and the stars that you set in place, what is man that you would even be mindful of him?" He's telling us, friend, the hand of God is perfectly skilled to handle every situation that we would give over to him. That he can hang the moon and the stars in the sky, so surely he can handle our marriages, our finances, our future, our children. You see, sometimes when we go through a painful time in our life, what makes us the most anxious is we just want it to be over. We don't like how it feels. We don't like the pain. We don't like the difficulty. But the Bible promises us that every cut, every movement across the blade is for our good. And that your Father, he doesn't just cut meaninglessly. He doesn't just allow you to be wounded without purpose, but that he cuts with acute accuracy. And that every single cut in your life is for your good, making you and crafting you into the image of a beautiful son, because he's got skilled hands. The second one is this: God's hands are strong hands. Have you ever met one of those guys that has just like that old man grip? You know what I'm talking about? That worked at AK for 35 years, worked a farm, he's got that grip. You know, shake your hand, sign of respect, it hurts your knuckles after you shake. I always wanted that kind of hand grip, but my hands are a little too delicate. My dad had really strong hands. He would play this game with us when we were kids where he would put his hands together like this and we had to try to rip them apart, and you just couldn't do it for the life of you. But here's what I want you to know. Your father has that old man grip on your life. Strong. Nothing can take you from his hand. Nothing can steal you away from him. You remember what Jesus said? He said, "My Father, who has given you to me, is greater than all. And no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand." And he said that in the context of the thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, if you will commit your life into his hand, nothing can snatch you away from it. And so, friends, the enemy can sneer, he can snarl with his threats of destruction and chaos and confusion, but we who live in the hand of God know that nothing can take us out of his hand. Nothing can steal us away from him. And so I know that he's going to hold on to me, even in the middle of the storm, even when it's raging outside. I know that his grip is strong and his hands are strong. Here's the third one: God's hands are soothing hands. You know, the grandkids in our family, they call Lindy Papaw. And Papaw Lindy's got some real soothing hands. We've got a little nephew named Owen, and he's the wild child in the family. He is crazy. He runs everywhere. And he loves to tell you everything you ever want to know about Star Wars and Pokemon, and just, he is a bundle of energy. But when Lindy gets a hold of him, he can put him in his lap, and he does this little move where he just takes his fingers and he rubs the back of his neck, and that dude just like passes out. Like, he's the kindergarten whisperer. I don't know how he does it. It's miraculous. But here's what I want you to know. When you come into the presence of your Heavenly Father, his hands are so soothing on your life. There is such a joy that he wants to give to you in his presence. Man, his faithfulness and his goodness. We sang about it this morning. When you come in contact with his goodness, it's just relief for your soul, isn't it? When you experience his faithfulness, his goodness, all of a sudden, you just go, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be okay. You know, I have anxiety all the time. Anxiety is one of the biggest issues in my life. I think about being a dad, and it freaks me out. Because I'm like, they always tell you you're going to feel grown up someday, and I'm wondering when that's going to happen. Because I still feel 15 all the time. I still, like, get nervous. Like, did I, ask dad for permission to drive the car? Like, I get nervous. Am I going to be a good dad? Is that going to work out? Are we going to have money to get through this? Are we going to navigate this financially well? Are we going to ruin this kid? That's a fear I have all the time. Like, I'm going to do something that's going to ruin my kid. I don't want that to happen. But then I lean into God's presence. I listen to his people. This morning, Betty Swanson was just speaking words of encouragement over my life. You're going to be a great dad. You're going to be awesome. And all of a sudden, God's presence and his hand on my life just reminds me, I'm going to equip you with everything you need. I'm going to give you everything you need to be a good father, to be a good husband. He says the same thing to you this morning. Whatever you put in his hand, he's going to give you the power and he's going to equip you to walk that through in his presence. He's going to give you what you need. And all of a sudden that begins to fill you with joy. Here's the last one, or the fourth one. God's hands are sovereign hands. I want you to hear this one this morning because your father knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He does. The plan he's enacting, the plan he's working, he's had planned for a very long time. I was talking to some friends yesterday about the worries that we carry around and how paralyzing those can be. Sometimes I think the reason we get crippled with anxiety is because we're afraid to make the wrong decision, or we're afraid to say the wrong thing, or we're afraid if I make this decision, maybe I'll have wasted all of these things. And I want you to know that your father's hands are incredibly thrifty and that there is no wasted moment in his presence. That every decision, whether you were attuned to him or not, he has the ability to work out for your good and for his glory. And so what you put into his hand is a part of his sovereign plan. And he is going to work that out for your good. And so looking back and asking what if and worrying about past decisions, it does nothing but cripple your walk with God. And he wants you this morning to come into his hands, forget the past, strain toward what's ahead, and trust him with your future. Pastor Janet always says, there's nothing that the enemy has mangled that the Lord cannot redeem. I say amen to that. There's no marriage too broken that he cannot mend. There's no child too distressed for him to deliver, no family too fractured for him to fix. There's no heart so broken that he cannot restore it because his hands are sovereign hands and he knows how to weave the tapestry of our lives together for powerful things. And here's the last one. God's hands are scarred hands. I want you to hear me this morning. I tell you this all the time. God doesn't just tell us he loves us. He doesn't just tell us to trust him. But he actually entered this world as a human being and proved his love for us. When Jesus stretches out his hand towards you, when he asks you to humble yourself under his mighty hand, he doesn't extend a fist, he extends an open hand where you can see the scars where they pierced him to the cross. Jesus said, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, if he gave up his son, won't he give us everything else that we need? Friends, what have we to worry about when we know that God is in control? When we know that he loves us. And I want you to see one more thing this morning. Peter said this. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you at the proper time. He's telling us that there's a victory coming, that there is a celebration coming, that God doesn't allow his children to suffer forever, but that he lifts them and he exalts them when they stop trying to take life into their own hand. And so in the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus praying at the garden, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says he's so anxious, so filled with anxiety, that he begins to sweat drops of blood from his brow. Jesus, in a very real way, knew the crippling power of worry and anxiety and fear. And yet Jesus, humbling himself under the mighty hand of God, says, not my will, but yours be done. And he willingly allows the soldiers to take him away. He carefreely allows them to spit on him, mock him, beat him. He voluntarily stretches out his arms and his feet for them to pierce him to the cross. And then look at what Luke says. I love this. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he said this, he breathed his last. From the cross, he says, Father, I trust your hands. I know that these hands can work miracles. I know that this crucifixion is not the end of the story. I know that an exaltation is going to follow this humiliation. And I wonder this morning, what do you need to commit into the hands of your loving Father? What do you need to give him today? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a daunting decision. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your future. What do you need to trust him with today, believing that a resurrection is coming? Because look at what happens next for Jesus. It says in the next part of Luke chapter 24, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said this to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking that they'd saw a ghost. You would be as well. Verse 38, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, hands that we can trust, skilled hands, strong hands, soothing hands, sovereign hands, scarred hands, proving his love for us. If you're anxious this morning, if you're worried this morning, why don't you come under the loving hand of your Heavenly Father? Why don't you commit to him? Father, into your hands I commit my life, my marriage, my children, my finances, my future. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I thank you this morning for your kindness, for your goodness to us. I pray, Jesus, that in this place you would meet us, that you would speak to us. I pray for those who are worried and anxious. Father, would they give to you freely the things that burden them? Would you give them the courage to take their hands off and to put it into your hand? And Father, would you give them the discipline to do that day by day, to not go back and pick up what they put in your hand, but to leave it there, trusting you with each moment, with each hour, with each minute that goes by. And Father, as you do that, would you remind them that your hands are skillful, your hands are strong, soothing, sovereign, Father. You know what's best for us. So I lift up those children that are lost, that we're asking you to save. I lift up those marriages that are hurting, that we're asking you to redeem. I lift up those doubts and those fears that are plaguing us. And I ask, God, that you would give us the strength to cast them on you. We love you, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and respond. Maybe you'd like to come to the altars and pray and cast your anxieties on your Heavenly Father.